The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You're good Catholics, because you recognize that what I say there is what I begin every Mass with. That same exact phrase. And now you know where it's found in Scripture, because you see everything it is that we do at Mass is taken from Scripture. A lot of people accuse us and say, well, you don't know Scripture, you don't do anything with Scripture. The entirety of our Mass is Scripture. Unlike pretty much everybody else, we spend 1 hour at least every single Sunday only talking about Scripture and paraphrases of Scripture all Mass long. So today we celebrate this great feast of Trinity Sunday, the Sunday of the Most Holy Trinity. And before I entered into the seminary, before I began to study theology, I used to think, this is the most abstract, has nothing to do with my life, most esoteric. What could there be practical in this feast day of the entire church year? And it seems that way. Like, how does the Holy Trinity affect my life? How does knowing about all these great things, is it just good for theologians to fight over? I tell you, contrary to what our first look into the Scriptures is, our first look into this feast day is, it's the most practical of all the dogmas of the church. It's the most important and the highest dogma of all the church because it deals with God himself. Why is it so practical? We got to go back to the very beginning of the Scriptures in Genesis. What does it say there? When man was created, he said, I made him how? In my own image and in my own likeness. That's a powerful, important phrase. But what does that have to do with the Holy Trinity? Well, this is it. Because if we are to know who we are, we have to first know who God is. God made us in his image and likeness, so we have to know who God is, what God is, so we know who we are. You see, every human heart longs for fulfillment. Every human being desires happiness. And we're only going to find it if we know who God is and thereby know who we are. That's how it begins. So who is God? Who is God? You know, there's a lot of ways in which we can answer that question. Throughout the whole church, we can talk about the way St. Patrick used to explain it or many of the other great analogies that we have for who God is. But I think this is one of the best. That's why I'm going to share it with you today. The most basic thing we can say about God is that he's three. Three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's who God is. These three persons from all eternity and forever, what do? Live in community with each other. This is a friendship of reckless, unbridled, passionate love existing between all of them and changing all throughout, which it means that none of them hold back anything of what is theirs from anyone else. They freely share everything that is theirs with each other, and everything that they are is shared with the others. That's amazing, but what does it have to do with me? How does it affect my life? What it does is it tells us what we're made for. It tells us that you and I, brothers and sisters, were made for friendship. You and I are made for communion. You and I are made for love. We're made for grace. And we're able to have a participation in this friendship, in this communion, in this love, in this grace. How? Holy baptism, adoption. At holy baptism, each one of us were adopted into God's family and made heirs to his kingdom and to his very self, so that the Holy Trinity was planted deeply within our souls, living here. We don't have to look far off into the sky when we're praying. If we're in the state of grace, God's living here. And we can explore his mystery within our very persons. With the Holy Trinity, this dogma should affect the way that we think about ourselves, as made in his image and likeness. But also it should change the way in which we relate to God, especially through our prayers. Our prayers, if we're going to pray through the Holy Trinity and using this doctrine of the Trinity to help us to pray, our prayers should maybe be something like this, to turn to God and say, God, you are a communion of persons within yourself, and you've made me in your very image and likeness. So I know that I need to live in communion with those who are around me, but I recognize I don't do that well. I recognize that often I am selfish and egotistical and want things my way most of the time. God, it's not supposed to be that way. Help me. Help me to be more like you, because I know that you've made me so that I can be more like you. That's one way in which it can change our prayer, knowing the Holy Trinity, knowing this communion of persons. But once we begin to pray like that and to live out the life of the Holy Trinity within us, we have an evangelical religion, which means we testify to it. We don't just want to keep it to ourselves. So how are we supposed to take the Holy Trinity to those whom we encounter? It's tough, huh? Tough concept, but I think this is it. And you can find the secret of it in your scriptures, which are right before you. Margarita read the beautiful passage we have there from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. What does St. Paul say there in the very last verse? Read it there. It's amazing. He says, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." That should change us. Because what he's trying to show us is that we are supposed to be a part of the Trinity, and the Trinity is supposed to be a part of who we are. So let's start from the beginning. Grace. Grace. The grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's grace? Anybody know what that is? It's a really important concept for our faith, for us being Christians, for us being Catholics. Don't know what grace is, though. Well, hopefully you're living in the state of grace so you can receive Holy Communion. Grace is this, very simply. Grace is free, unmerited gift of God's very life within you. That's what grace is. Grace is that free, unmerited gift. And that means if God has graced us with his very presence, graced us with his love, graced us with his life, that means that we need to freely give our own life, our own love to those who are around us, especially if they don't deserve it, because grace is undeserved by its very definition. None of us deserves God's love. Not a single one of us in this room. No one deserves God's love, but yet he loves us anyway. In our unworthiness, in our unlovableness. God says to us that if that's the way that he interacts with us, he says, go and do likewise. Do the same thing. He speaks about that in the Gospel of Luke. In his gospel, which Deacon Edward read for us so beautifully, is a gospel we all know. We see it at football games. Every time we watch it, people paint it on their face. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him might have eternal life. Usually people forget about verse 17, which is very important. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's important. That's important because that's what grace is. It has to be that same way with us and with others. So that we need to be God's own instruments of grace into this world, living in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, St. Mother Teresa, who I love dearly, she one time gave a talk to a group of her sisters and invited the surrounding priests, especially a prominent Monsignor who was there, who was known and loved everywhere, a great theologian. So when she began to teach, she began to talk to them about their lives and about how they're to love God. And she said, you know what? There's one sin which I have never had to confess in my life. You know what that is? Judgment. Judgment. And this blew everybody away, especially the Monsignor. He was fumbling and saying, wait a second, I know that this is the sin which is most often confessed in the confessional. So he challenged her immediately. He didn't let her finish talking. He said, hey, Mother, you want us to believe, really, that you've never committed this sin which everybody finds so easy to commit? Come on, be real. And she just, this little diminutive nun, looked at him very resolutely and said, oh no, Monsignor. No, Monsignor. If I judge them, then I can't love them. If I judge them, I can't love them. You see, if God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world, that means that you and I have to have that same sort of love for the people in the world, particularly those who are sitting next to us and here in this church. To have that same love for him, we can't judge the world. We can point out their sins, but we can't judge their persons. Because if we're judging them, like Saint Mother Teresa said, we can't love them. So the grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is this: a refusal to judge other people. That leads us into the second point. What is love? The love of God who is the Father. You know, one time I was on a retreat, and when you go on retreats, often what they do, and Rose can attest to this from her retreat, they break you off into little groups, right? They break you off into little small groups and you discuss things a little bit. Well, as a priest, I joined one of these groups and that we were on retreat with, and with a bunch of lay people, and they went around the group and they was, okay, first time we go around, we're talking about all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we live out well. Those 12 gifts, those gifts of the Holy Spirit. They went around, and then the second time they went around, they said, okay, share what one you really struggle with, that you're not really doing well. What gift is that? So some people said, I really struggle with patience, or I really struggle with kindness to other people, or I'm not really good at suffering for a long time. Whatever. They just went around the room with that. And then when they came to me, that was the last one, and they said, well, Father, what do you struggle with? That'd be interesting for us. What is the one that you struggle with? I just looked at them and I said, love. I struggle with love. And as I said that, everybody went, oh, the priest struggles with love? Isn't the priesthood supposed to be the love of the heart of Jesus? Isn't the whole point of the priesthood is to bring the love of Christ into our lives? I saw an old woman immediately at that moment pull a rosary out of her pocket and start praying it for me. I appreciated the prayers. I appreciated the prayers, but it's true. I struggle so much with love because love is not an easy thing. Love is hard. Love is hard because what is it that Jesus says? Jesus says it's easy to talk about love, and we talk about love all the time here from the pulpit. But it's another thing to live it out. To live it out, because if we live out love well, it's going to kill us. It brings about your death. Jesus said what? Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Love demands sacrifice. Love demands that. Husbands and wives, husbands, you got to be willing to do that every single day for your wife. If not, you're not loving her and you're not doing what God commanded of you. Love is a hard thing for us to do. It means that, like St. Paul says in his literature, in his writings, he says that I have to die daily to myself. And that's a really hard thing. I can't just do it one time and point and say, look, I did that really, really tough thing to love that person, so I'm good. I got to do it every day, especially when people are not kind to me, when they accuse me, when they're rude to me. I got to love them especially. Because that's what love is, to love at all times. That's why we need the love of the Father to live within us, as it says in that scripture. Finally, it talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that reminds us, brothers and sisters, that we can't be Lone Ranger Catholics. We can't be alone. We're called to fellowship, to communion, to live with one another. We can't just come to Mass and say, here, I'm here to be in a relationship with you. It's just about Jesus and me, about Jesus and me. It's about being anonymously Catholic. It's about going off and doing whatever it is that I want alone, which really speaks to my soul. No, that's the way that leads to hell. Because it says in the scriptures that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. You see, God has called us into relationship, into fellowship with one another. That's what it's about. It's not about just us. It's not about just coming here and saying, I'm here just to focus on worshiping God, so those kids over there are running around making noise, they got to shut their trap. They got to stop moving around. No, those little ones are God's children too, part of our family. And so we got to give glory to God for the fact that they're here and worshiping God the best that they can in their own little childlike way. Because he says, the kingdom of heaven is given to such as these. Being a part of Jesus' church is all about fellowship. First, with Almighty God, that's why we give him our worship. Secondly, with our brothers and sisters who are here with us. Because baptism makes us not just a family of God's family, but also a family with those who are around us. Each and every one of us who are baptized are part of the same family. And so we got to learn to live with one another, learn to struggle with one another. So we got to ask ourselves, what are we doing to be a part of God's family? What am I doing to build up fellowship here within our parish in Fort Sumner? What am I doing? Or am I just leaving right away to go and do my own thing? Do I see myself as a part of a community in fellowship with one another? Or am I just here at Mass to worship God, to check a box and then get the heck out of here and do what I want? Because that's not why we come to Mass. And that's not Catholic. We come to Mass to worship God, but also to fellowship with one another, to share in our struggles, to recognize that I need to pray for that one who's struggling over there. And in my struggle, I really hope that they're praying for me. That's what it means to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So on this day of the Most Holy Trinity, the most practical of all of the teachings and the feast days of the church, reminded that God is a community of three persons, one God. And that God has made each and every one of us in his own image and likeness. That God is love, the love of the Father, which means that I have to give up my life daily to serve him and to serve him and my neighbor, which just might kill me. Christ Jesus gives us his grace, which means that I have the free gift of salvation, meaning that I need to give that free gift to others by refusing to judge others so that I can actually love them. It means to have that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which means to come together as a community, not living by myself, not to push others away at Mass, but to let God make each one of us stronger by struggling together and struggling against one another at some times. You see, that's who God is. That's who the Holy Trinity is. And that's what this Mass, which we are celebrating today, is supposed to make us reflect just a little bit more today. That's the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.